This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. It's been a week since Arkansans voted in the May 2012 primary. It was a relatively quiet affair with just one real statewide election and a few spirited legislative races. After the votes were tallied, Roby Brock of TalkBusiness.net sat down with Jason Tolbert of the right-leaning blog The Tolbert Report and Michael Cook from the left-leaning blog Cook's Outlook to discuss what the results may mean for November. Roby first asked Jason Tolbert about the GOP vote.
Jason, tell me, first of all, Tom Cotton emphatically won the 4th District GOP nomination on Tuesday. Should we read too much into one election night, or do you believe that the myth of Tom Cotton just got bigger?
Well, I believe we really saw the introduction of Tom Cotton to Arkansas politics. I think this is going to be the first elected office he gets, but I think he'll be a great congressman for that district. I think he's on his way to victory in the general election. I don't think there's an opponent on the Democratic side that can match him either in his resume as a candidate or in his fundraising ability. And I think he has a bright future in Arkansas politics ahead of him.
Do you sense that Beth Ann Rankin, who finished second, she was the 2010 GOP nominee for that district, do you think she could have done anything differently to alter the outcome of this election, and do you think she still has a political future?
Well, the second question, I think she definitely has a political future. I don't know that she can run for Congress again. She's run for that twice, hasn't been successful either time, so that would be hard for her to do again. But I think if she wants to look at maybe a state-level race, maybe something along the lines of Secretary of State or even the state legislature, I think she certainly has a possibility of that. But running for Congress a third time, that would be tough for her. But I still think we'll see her very involved in the conservative movement here in the state, in the Republican Party. As to what she could have done differently, you know, I'm not sure. Obviously, you could say she could have raised more money. I think she was just outspent by her opponent and had a hard time keeping up with the level he achieved. Normally, the amount she raised would have been plenty for a Republican primary victory in the state. But Cotton just really went PlayStation on her, raising the amount of money that he raised. And she couldn't keep up with that. So, you know, she ran a good campaign. And apart from matching Cotton's funds, that's really the only thing she could have changed.
Cotton's prospects for the fall are considered pretty good due to Q. Byram Hearst's financial and legal troubles and Gene Jeffers' unwillingness to run a modern-day campaign. Is the first district expected to be the only place where Democrats may compete for a congressional seat in your mind?
Well, I'm sure if you were to ask a Democratic consultant, particularly one down in the 4th District, they would answer it quite differently than me. But yes, I think the 1st District is the only district that will be even remotely competitive over on the Democratic side. I think State Senator Jeffries is on his way to winning the runoff. Unless he just really blows it, he'll probably be the nominee down there. And he runs a great grassroots campaign if you're running for the state legislature, but when you're running on a congressional district-wide campaign, that style is just it would be very difficult for him to win with that style. So unless someone comes in and spends $2 or $3 million nationally down in that district, then I don't think he really has a chance. So I think a lot of the attention will be over in the 1st District where Congressman Crawford is going to be running for reelection.
And he'll either be facing Scott Ellington or Clark Hall. Ellington almost got there on election night without a runoff. Do you think he tips it over, or do you think Hall can come back from 10 points down?
Well, you know, you really have to look at the numbers and think that Ellington has the advantage. What you really saw on election night, since it wasn't the final result, is you saw a very good opinion poll of where the district was on Tuesday. So for Hall to move that, I think he was about 10 or 11 points behind. For him to move that in just 3 weeks' time would be extremely difficult. It could happen. June runoffs are obviously a turnout game. And so if Hall can really move his numbers and get his voters to the poll, he would have a chance to come back. But, you know, just being a few hundred votes shy of making a runoff puts Ellington in a great position to win the runoff. And I think a lot of people were surprised Ellington was so close. I don't think a lot of people expected it to be so close to 50%. I think a runoff was assumed by a lot of people, but just the margin, he was just almost there. You know, he's got to be doing some Wednesday morning quarterbacking of what he could have done differently to have avoided the runoff.
Let's turn to some local races in general. There were a number of Senate and House Republican primaries. the, quote, more conservative, end quote, candidates seem to have won all those races. Are Republicans through with the moderate base of their party in Arkansas?
Well, what I really think you saw, it was a very low turnout primary. And so you saw the party faithful turn out in this election. And you saw that the more motivated voters were the conservative voters. The more moderate type of voters really didn't turn out in such a low turnout primary. And so there's a lot more enthusiasm, I think, in the conservative faction of the Republican Party than there is in the moderate faction of the Republican Party. If it had been a typical November-type turnout, you might have seen a different result. But with the low turnout like it was, they were able to overcome almost every primary. I think just about every, the conservative versus moderate race went to the conservative. And it's kind of interesting as the numbers came in, some of the moderates were ahead in the early returns. And then when the final numbers came out, and in several races, the conservative, I guess you could say, came back and won. Once we got to about, I guess, 10:30 or 11 o'clock late on Tuesday night, we saw those races turn in the favor of the conservatives.
That's Jason Tolbert of the Tolbert Report talking with Roby Brock from TalkBusiness.net. Roby also talked with Michael Cook of Cook's Outlook about Democratic Party issues raised in the May primary last week.
All right, Michael, let's begin with the first district primary. Scott Ellington surprised a lot of folks with his strong performance. He did not spend a lot of money. What do you attribute his advantage to?
Ellington's real strength was good old-fashioned name recognition. He's the prosecuting attorney up in Northeast Arkansas, about six or seven counties is where his district currently covers. So he started off with a lot of people already knowing his name to begin with. I mean, the vast majority of the votes were in his district in that congressional race. And so Clark Hall's problem was he's from the southern part of the district where there are not a lot of votes. Now, Hall was able to put the money together and go up on TV with some good quality television advertising. But he just couldn't overcome Ellington's name recognition. And Ellington came within 300-something votes, give or take, of winning the whole thing without a runoff. So what happens now is both Hall and Ellington have to, frankly, in a runoff, just focus on getting their voters to the polls. And that will be a struggle for Hall because there's not a lot of votes in South Arkansas as opposed to Northeast. So Ellington enters into the runoff in the driver's seat. You know, he's now the one to beat in this race. But one caveat I would add to it all is runoffs are always topsy-turvy. You just never know how it could go. You know, if I was going to bet, I would bet on Ellington winning runoff. But runoffs are quirky, so there's always a chance Hall could pull it off.
On to the 4th District. Gene Jeffers ran an old-fashioned shoe leather campaign. He went to pie suppers and festival appearances, not a dime of money on TV, where Q. Byram Hearst did spend a pretty penny. Conventional wisdom says Hearst should have led the ticket, but why did Jeffers do so well?
The same thing in the 4th District race is similar to what's up in the 1st District in that good old-fashioned name recognition. Senator Gene Jeffers has been a state senator in southwest Arkansas for quite a while, but also his brother, State Senator Jimmy Jeffers, is over there in southeast Arkansas. So my point is the Jeffers name is very well known in South Arkansas, and he did very, very well in that. And, of course, he also had state senator in front of his name. So when people went to the polls, they didn't know either one of these candidates. So a lot of times they just vote for the person with the title in front of the name. So those combination of factors help Gene Jeffers lead the ticket. And also, I think Jeffers is also in a bit of the driver's seat in that he has kind of deep South Arkansas on lockdown. So when it comes time for voting in the runoff, you know, he's also the person to beat. I just wish he would run a more modern campaign. You know, winning a nomination is one thing, but running in a general election against Tom Cotton, who's going to have plenty of money, it's going to be an uphill struggle.
Finally, President Obama, he performed very poorly statewide when you put it in context with an unknown protest candidate, John Wolf, garnering about 42% of the vote against the incumbent. Is the president's strong unpopularity a problem for the Democrats in the fall, and how do they overcome it if it is?
It will be a problem for the candidates for federal office for Congress because they were obviously wanting to have to not be tied to Obama, who's not popular here. But I think once you get down to state rep, state senate level, it goes down to the good old-fashioned all politics is local. And Democratic candidates have got to show that, you know, let themselves be known in the district, show that they're part of the community, that they share the values. I think it always must be remembered that Arkansans love voting against the Democratic nominee for president. Since 1968, the only times we've ever voted for the Democratic nominee for president was twice for Bill Clinton and one time for Jimmy Carter in 1976. Every other time, we've always voted for the Republican candidate. So voting against the Democratic nominee for president is not unusual in Arkansas politics.
Roby Brock talked with Michael Cook of Cook's Outlook last week after the votes had been counted in the Arkansas May primary. Earlier, we heard from Jason Tolbert of the Tolbert Report. Support for TalkBusiness.net on Ozarks at Large is provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from four offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com and Bank of the Ozarks. More information at BankOzarks.com. And Verizon, offering a wide selection of productivity-enhancing tablets for small business, including the Apple iPad. More information at a Verizon communication store near you or online at vzw.com/smallbusiness. And CEG Partners, using empirical data to better understand your customers' experiences and their loyalties. More information at cegpartners.com.